Enchanting Janine Kimmel. Welcome to the show, Janine.
Hi, Golgi. Hi, everybody. I'm here.
Did you notice the difference in the intro? I don't know if you noticed the little subtle difference I did.
No. Tell me.
It will no longer say Blog Talk Radio at the beginning of our shows. It'll just go straight into our music.
Audio or?
Audio.
Oh.
Like, you remember when the show used to start years ago? Blog Talk Radio or whatever it said.
Oh, yes, yes. Now, you know, that's so funny. And I was going, what? Yeah, now that you mention it, but I didn't notice it. And this song, I was like, wow, that song takes you right down to, like, that pace that I'm needing right now. You know? So that's great. I didn't notice it, but I love it kind of. Starts right off into that song.
Yeah. Well, it gave me the option when I was setting it up, because also, so everybody knows, God, the changes going on in the world.
Yeah.
My world, Janine's world, all of our world, inner as well as outer. I had something interesting happening to me over the past few days. Around, quote-unquote, another reality show. And it's funny because I even came into some, you know, new wisdom today. But I have really decided consciously, I absolutely adore another reality show. And it's not going anywhere, but my real focus is the Mystical Mother Earth show. Numerous levels and for numerous reasons, having a show like this where, you know, I have a divine partner. I could not ask for a better partner in Janine.
You're
very welcome. And having, you know, a platform to share my everyday, you know, life, my ups, my downs, you know, share it from a processing, a consciously processing point of view. It's the cherry. I don't even need the ice cream. Let's go straight to the cherry. That's what it is. And so I decided that I wanted the Blog Talk Radio website, for lack of a better word, but the profile part, to reflect that it's really not about so much putting my another reality show foot forward first. It's really about my Mystical Mother Earth show being put first. So now when you go to the profile and it talks about this show. It talks about the Mystical Mother Earth show and me and Janine and what we're creating. And, you know, it's interesting because things will shift as we shift them. And I definitely want to share that don't underestimate small changes creating big ripples of effect in our lives. Because, you know, in my humble opinion, everything's really small with big ripple effects. Meaning, you know, kind of like from that book, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff, and it's all small stuff. But I really feel I feel really good about shifting, you know, that. I'm going to talk about a lot of shifts going on today, but I really felt good about the shift of making the Mystical Mother Earth show, you know, kind of, you know, the prime focus of me. And, you know, if you've been keeping up with our weekly programs, you'll know that, you know, I'm pretty much kind of I'm exploring vulnerability.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, I think one of the reasons why I feel so vulnerable, or I did anyways, about putting Mystical Mother Earth kind of as the forefront is that I can only do this with a partner.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the format is that it has a partner. And the partner, you know, I hope never ends. I hope our partnership on the radio never ends. Let me say that.
Mm.
But, you know, life happens, you know, and it's like there's a vulnerability in it. There's a vulnerability in my relationship with Scott. It's just so interesting because from a sovereign point of view, I need these beautiful partnerships to help me understand vulnerability.
Yeah.
And yet it's still focusing for me on the sovereign point of view. You know, it's still, you know, in other words, I don't, like one of the things I'm realizing when we're consciously looking at aspects of ourselves, looking at vulnerability and becoming lost in a relationship are two different things. Like, I can remember a time when, you know, my boyfriend liked drums. I would have just learned how to play the drums.
Yeah.
Or, you know, like, it was really, it used to be my boy. If I dated a guy who liked a certain sport, you know, whether it was football, basketball, hockey, soccer, whatever it was, my identity became my boyfriend's identity. If that's the sport he liked, I dove into that because isn't that what a good girlfriend does? You know, becoming knowledgeable of something that they're knowledgeable about. And I'll be honest with you, that is not my experience with my two most significant relationships, which are you and Scott.
Mm. I love that.
Yeah, no, it's incredible, Jeannie. It really is. And I give you tremendous credit in helping me see the divine sovereign in a divine relationship.
Mm. Oh, that's, you know, I just want to say one thing that, you know, of course, I love, we talk so much and then here you are shedding light on something that we hadn't talked about, but I love it because, you know, I hadn't thought of that. And when we discussed, you know, oh, it's, you know, I love the timing and yeah, let's, you know, you said I'm going to change it. And I was like, oh, that's so good. And of course, I didn't think of the risk taking of putting the partnership one up. And you know, it's a great awareness though, because first of all, anything, you know, I'll bring back my joy and interest in knowing the art of relating and how that is every day. And
okay.
So, of course, relating is to everything. And so to you, to myself, to, you know, to another, to the world, to the earth. I mean, so you know, here, you just brought that up for me again, which when this radio show was birthed, that was one of the first things I said about myself when you even probably said, so Jay, what do you like to do? You know, I spoke about how much I love relating, and I know that sounds abstract, but the other thing is, I just realized that just around the time you were birthing another reality show, I was birthing The Magic Gown. And The Magic Gown was written and illustrated by me. Now, the interesting thing is I am weeks away from going to print with a book I co-authored with a man, David Ceccarelli from Italy, a really, really incredible, dear, lovely friend and love. And he illustrated it, so I shared the work. This was a first for me. And, you know, so I'm looking at that going, oh, The Magic Gown was me. Another reality show was you. You know, you're in relationship now. I co-authored a book that took 5 years. It's like a child. And it really, truly was a coming together of an incredible intensity and commitment. And so it's so funny that I wouldn't have thought of that until you spoke of the togetherness that we have with the Mystical Mother Earth show. And then, of course, I am such an advocate, but also so aware that anything that's worthwhile has risks with it. And what is the risk? And it is a vulnerability, you know, and I adore the show. And I'm like, no matter where I am, like next week, I'll be in California visiting my son on his birthday. I'll be doing the show from California. And it'll be like, if I have to go to Ireland in the fall to deliver books to Ireland, you know, I'm doing the show from Ireland, you know?
Right on.
And I'm like,
right on.
Because I, first of all, I love being able to, if your work is you, like the work is within us, your work is within you, my work is within me, you take your work with you. I love that. I love that wherever I go, I'm with my work. And then, so I'm like, you know, it's such a traveling thing or a gypsy thing or you are your work.
Why 2-hour shows don't scare us, by the way.
Right. And actually, they've been enormous benefits to me. Enormous.
Me too.
You know, and it, because why? The art of relating to myself. You know, can I open up and just be available for 2 hours and let it roll? Yes, I can. And that was, at first I was going, what a fabulous challenge. And, you know, and it's only benefited me. And, you know, and what I love is we've been doing the show now, you know, since last, I think, October-ish or something like that. But what I love is that you still surprise me, because when you brought up and the vulnerability thing and it's a partnership show, and I'm going, wow, I didn't think of that. But I'm like, that's a great surprise, because, like, that's what's real to me. Like, you know, that's like an awareness I didn't have about you. And it's like, oh, I love when she surprises me on the radio, too. Because I do. I like that.
And you thrive on those spontaneousness. I mean, that...
You know why, yeah. Right? Because they
will share with us. Why
full,
is spontaneous?
They're full of a life. They're full of life.
Yeah.
They're what life is. They're just, they show up. They're real. It's authentic. You know, it's like a bird lands next to you and you go, I didn't know you were coming. He's like, duh. Of course.
Exactly.
Right? You know, it's like, right? It's like, you know, it's how life is. And, you know, I have to say, even you turned me on to Max, help me with the name, Max.
Egan,
right. I loved when he said, and I think someone else you interviewed said this, and I'm not sure if it was Penny Pierce, but it was someone who said, I just live life in an unfolding way. I don't have to make the agenda. It just happens. You know, I don't make the plans. The plans unfold. And, you know, I see that more and more and more. And, you know, how, you know, like we were talking before about an open, like you go, you know, open these open days. And in these open days where, you know, you go, oh, an open day. But it's just an open day for stuff to come in, you know.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, you know, now you started me.
No, good.
I thought
good,
I was
baby.
Fired.
Are you kidding me? I love when you. You don't have a bad rant in you.
No, but the key word, because it happened last week, was it went from the vulnerability show with the elephant on the one balancing on the ball. Then
That was two weeks ago.
And then last week's show was so amazing to me with you. And I was like, wow, this is fantastic. And I remember you said something like, well, what is it, Jay? Like, how do you, and I go, just be open. And like, that is it. That's the creative process. That's everybody. That's the day. That's life. That's this radio show. That's, you know, basically how it rolls out, you know?
Well, you know, and I posted this yesterday, which just applies in such support of what you just shared. You know, if we focus our thoughts on paying the bills, you know what somebody's talking about us, what somebody's saying about us, whether it's in the workplace or, you know, even in the spa or, you know, the healing centers, you know, if we're focusing on the drama, right, or if we're focusing on, you know, our clothes, whatever, life is going to reflect back to us these mindless, lifeless reflections. And that really is the key. The understanding, the way our lives speak to us is in direct relation to what we speak to life with. You know, are you focusing on the stuff that is stuff, or are you focusing on life? Life being, do you have plants? Do you have pets? Do you have, it doesn't even matter if you don't have pets. You could focus on, you know, just the wildlife outside. I mean, I have a cat, but I have two bird feeders, actually three. Now I actually have four because I have another one that I'm not using anymore. And I realized that, you know, when you focus on life, and I mean life itself, things that are living, the plants, the animals, the weather. Weather is very conscious. Weather is actually a reflection of consciousness. Music. I didn't write music in the post, and I got this feeling. I was like, I should have wrote music. Because one of the things I wrote, I actually wrote this and then deleted it, was, I don't know if anybody else noticed, but I didn't put people in the post. Because people can get sticky. This is welcome to our karma, you know, whether it's our family, our friends. So, you know, I'm not saying that you won't focus on people, because I am now learning. I mean, I have two amazing partnerships. I mean, and I mean that I am 47 years old. I'm going to start crying. And I have two amazing partners. I have my beloved Scott and I have my beloved Janine. Yes. And these are relationships that are so real. I mean, like, there's, and when I say real, you know, we're, everybody seems to be on board with seeing a truth and owning. Everybody owns their part in the experience of the truth. So there's no, it's not that there aren't challenges, but there's no drama. I mean, there's, which, I mean, ultimately is amazing that I have a boyfriend in my life and there's no drama. I'm not saying there's not challenges, because there are challenges, but they're my challenges to experience. The challenge isn't, when is Scott going to start being the kind of guy I want him to be, you know?
Yeah.
I really just don't look at Scott that way anymore. And I've had, oh, my God, plenty of boyfriends where, you know, you go into it going, if they could just be, and then fill in the blank, whatever that blank is.
Yeah.
Instead of just following, because, like, ultimately when it comes to Scott, I'm super duper attracted to Scott. That's what I know. Every fiber of my body, when he walks into the room or he comes into the house, I'm just excited that he's there. And me and Scott don't do a lot of elbow-to-elbow time together, even though we live together. I mean, he has his projects that he's doing, and they're his projects. I have, you know, the things that I'm doing and that I do. But when I'm in his space, I very much know it. When I'm not in his space, he's on my mind. And the shifting that has been going on between me and Scott, I mean, of late, Well, it's just profound. it really is profound. And I guess, you know, it's just this continuation of it's not just a radio show with you. I mean, because the joke that I have with all my friends is, you know, I love my boyfriend, but I can't live without my girlfriend. And, you know, Janine is my sounding board. She helps me. I mean, and I'm telling you, everybody should have a Janine in their lives. And the best part is Janine's available for everybody to do this. I mean, she is a therapist. She is available if you need a sounding board to know, because what I'm understanding is I'm flipping beliefs. And this is such a major thing to flip your beliefs, because it's our belief. You know, there's a lot of New Age stuff that goes around and says, okay, what you think is what you create. You know what? That's the conscious mind. And, I, you know, the conscious mind has some set, you know, some influence. But in my humble opinion, it's almost, it's like 98% of the influence of the choices we're making, the attractions that we're attracted to, who we're attracted to, why we're attracted to, those are formed in our beliefs. And in all honesty, I watch these shows like The Bachelorette, and I'm watching this woman choose, and not choose consciously, but seeing who she's attracted to. And I'm going, there are old beliefs running her body, her emotions. So if you want to utilize your consciousness, you want to become aware of your beliefs. And then if basically you've been creating relationships that are unfulfilling, once you're aware of the belief, now it's no longer subconscious. Now you have the potential to flip it. Now, I'm not saying any of this is, you know, a magic wand. It's all better. But it is possible to shift your reality. And I mean shifting it to a place that once the belief is shifted, once it's subconsciously running what you want to be running, then there does come a point where it's effortless. It is just like it was before you flipped the belief, except now the belief is in a coordination. It's in alignment with who you are today, as opposed to most of the beliefs that we have in us were given to us by parents and religious figures and teachers. And, yeah. You know, if you're anywhere in the age group between 40 and 60, There just wasn't a whole lot of conscious awareness going on back then. I'm not saying there wasn't at all, but, you know, because it's ironic. My mom had a lot of awareness in how she raised me, but her physicalness and her emotions in her own being were so unconscious. I mean, Jesus Christ, she died with this black eruption, this black cancerous crater on her breastbone, on that bone in the middle of your chest. It was inoperable. It was this black eruption, and it's like, you know, not exactly the signs of an open heart person. You know what I mean? And the truth is, it was her own walls that got her that. She built the walls. She didn't trust. She chose to go the route, I'm okay. When anybody asks, are you okay? Yep, I'm okay. And inside she was dying, literally, and I mean figuratively, and then inevitably literally. And she died at 63. But it was amazing, because when it came to me, on so many levels, she'd be like, you know, go out there and make your mistakes. Go. I'm not going to save you from them. And I really see that, as devastated as I was when she died, everything she taught me, once she was not here to be my wall of protection, kicked in, and it's like I had to experience it. And then with the help of, you know, a dear friend who really sees clearly how to align a belief, how to align an energy, how to be aligned with these type of expressions, self-expressions, I really, it, you know, it's... it's been a challenging road, but it's by far worth all the effort I put in that I'm finally, I mean, I'm 47 years old, and I am finally reaping what I sow. You know,
that's what I was thinking. I was thinking that. I was thinking, like, it's like when you explained, you know, and you're almost going to cry because you get moved by it, but, you know, Scott and me, and I'm like, you know, it's kind of like, it's what's really beautiful is that you deserve it, and you've earned it, and, you know, and it's real, and it's, I mean, I was just feeling it for you going, yeah, and that's to be able to just, so yeah, this is real. This is like, you know, the pot of beautiful, I don't know, I want to say gold for Golden Hawk, but it's just, you know, it's just real. And what's so amazing is to recognize that it's real, because that in itself takes a lot of courage that and self-love. That, and I know that that's been,
right.
You know,
right.
It's so funny for all of us that recognition has, we've been taught our culture to find that so difficult, that the self-love thing, or we deserve this. I mean, why wouldn't you? You know, a beautiful love relationship with, you know, it's great challenges, which you're totally capable and prepared to meet, and
right.
A friendship that means a lot to you, that, you know, is filled with all kinds of dimension and complexities and understandings, and,
right,
you know,
yeah.
And
yeah,
really has the flexibility that can roll with things. And that's so important. And you know, and I'm going, yeah, it's right there. And, you know, then I was imagining it for myself, as you were saying that I want to be able to recognize that for myself. Like, it's right there. It's all here. It's you know, it's not like something out in front of you that you're going for. It's just right here. And one of the key things is you were saying that, I'm going, Jeanine, that when that's right there for you, you want to be able to recognize it. You know, like, here
yeah.
it is.
Yeah.
Not like it's in front of me. Not like it's the, what's that word, the carrot that's like you never achieve, you never get to. It's like,
well, right,
we're
motivating
now.
You, but you're not even seeing what's motivating
right,
you.
Right, right. And so it's so powerful to me when someone can recognize that they've arrived. I love that. I mean, that's really
wow.
powerful.
Right on.
Yeah. And, yeah. And you know, and I know that I, you know, sometimes you go, yeah, I think I'm going, and I go, no, it's here now. You know, it's not in front of us. It's not, you know, and then you just said it, and I was like, oh, my God, there it is. Guess what just ran by my studio window?
The bunny.
A raccoon.
Oh,
yeah,
a raccoon.
Yeah, a raccoon. I'll have
right,
to look
and
that up
well,
later.
I'm going to look it up. Okay, because raccoon is interesting. Raccoon is all about the mask that, you know, it's a little mask that it wears.
Okay.
but go ahead. I'll let you know when I have that up. So
okay. Also, oh, yeah, now you just reminded me, too. You know, yesterday, just I'm looking out the front window of the house, and which my studio is attached to, and there was a snapping turtle. It's laying eggs time here because we have a
nice.
Creek. And so she was up in the driveway, and she kept crossing back and forth and back and forth and back and forth looking for that place to lay her eggs. And then there was this little bunny that I was like, do you know that's a snapping turtle? Because the little bunny's almost like following her going, are you my mother? You know, it was really funny. It was like, no, that's a snapping turtle. So then I've got the groundhog running, and I'm like, wow, it is really active out here.
I guess you know too, because we also have a brook beside our house, and we have a turtle who also lays eggs.
Yeah.
What I saw on, I don't know, one of the nature shows, turtles will go back to, I don't know if it's to mate. I think it might be to mate. I'm not sure. But turtles will go back to where they were born.
Oh.
For some reason. So all the babies being born inevitably
yeah.
come back to our space because nature, and they said they don't even know how how the compass in them. And I wish I remember,
yeah.
I don't remember what it said, whether it's to mate or lay eggs, but there was a reason why they said, but they'll go back to the place that they, and this could be like some turtles, you know, are, you know, out, you know, in like, you know, the Bahamas or wherever.
Oh, yeah, the sea turtle.
Where
they
really
travel, they travel crazy amount of miles,
yeah. And yet they still go back to the beach, the exact beach that they
That's
were born
amazing.
On. So... Okay, wait. I got raccoon. You ready?
Okay, yeah.
This is very interesting. Understanding the nature of masks, disguise, dexterity, seeking guidance and confidence, questioning without fear, balancing curiosity.
Mm. Nice.
Yeah, that just fits very much like, well, thank you, Mr. Raccoon. that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah. Definitely. You know, I mean, first of all, it's so funny because I was thinking about, and then a raccoon ran by, but I was thinking about when I said to you that, you know, the most, you know, I use the word in a playful kind of author written, you know, wordsmith way, when I go, the most dangerous thing is to love deeply or to feel deeply. Because we become undone. And when we become undone, that's when we are, you know, really coming into our authentic self. And that's when, you know, the pot of gold does show up. And I don't mean like, you know, the banking kind of thing. I mean
right.
like what you just said, you know, and so
the
I was
presence.
Thinking that.
That's when presence
yeah,
shows up.
Right. And for myself, and I know we talked about this word discipline, but the thing about sovereignty is that you become a disciple of yourself. And then from that word disciple is the word discipline. But it's all when you become a disciple of yourself, you know, like what you just said about Scott, like, and the loving thing. And I was like, well, because it's you, you know, you're, it's you that's happening too, that the whole, the capacity for love, the becoming undone, the authentic self, and so I was thinking that really the part with the raccoon about the ability to seek or ask questions without fear. What
yeah,
was that again?
Questioning without fear.
Questioning without fear, because when we're in relationship, you need to do that. You know, you got to take risks. You do. I mean, or it's not really a real relationship, you know?
Well, you know what? You know, it's so funny. What's coming to my mind right now is, and this has something to do with a conversation we had recently, that for most of my life, I've had one other significant relationship where I was in the relationship and I was monogamous. I mean, it was stated, it was quoted, and, you know, that's what I called, I've always said he was the love of my life. And I didn't know, in all honesty, if there would be another love of my life, because I broke up with him at 30. I'm 47. And, you know, I basically kind of just, you know, I looked for it for many years. It nowhere near came. And then, you know, and what I know from my other relationships is, on average, usually what I would do is I would date two men at once. And that was basically because, between the two of them, they had everything I was looking for. And it would be basically pretty significant. You know, one would usually be probably the sexual side of me and the spontaneous side, and the other one would be the more standard, where we would do dinners and movies and family things together. You know, it was like one was the wild side and one was the family side.
Mm.
And remember when we were talking the other day and I said, you know, knowing ourselves is multidimensional is very much attuned to being multiple personalities.
Yes. Yeah.
But with the exception of course, is that they're all integrated. They're in multiple personalities. You're not or transparency. There you go, Simon. Right. I mean, each part of each aspect of myself knows about the other. Well, what's so funny is I am finding as I do the internal work and really allow myself to see my beliefs, you know, the belief of abandonment, the belief of not feeling lovable, or like in my, the present belief I'm working with now is self-love around my physical, my physical body, what I look like, not just what I look like though, what I look like, what I feel, how I'm feeling, you know, what I'm ingesting, how I do my hair, whether I wear makeup, the kind of clothes I wear, just the whole physical aspect of myself. And well, what's so interesting that I'm finding is as I do the inner work, Scott is becoming really all the men, you know, in one being again.
Yeah.
It's like, again, you know, it's because I'm becoming whole. He can only reflect back to me where I am. And by the way, everybody listening, everybody you guys are playing with, and that goes from best friends to partners to family members to coworkers, everything we're seeing in the world is self.
Yeah.
So the way that it's shifting is really, it's monumental, because for whatever the reason, I had the love of my life from 25 to 30, and on some level I believe my soul sent me that because it was the last 5 years of my drug addiction. I really was just a loon bird. And, my choice of drugs was cocaine. You really get disconnected from your soul after years and years of doing that stuff. So it was really a matter of, if we want her to stick around for the healing, you better keep her around these last 5 years. So they kind of threw me a lifeline. And what was funny, though, when it was time to get sober, he didn't want to get sober. You know, he was not on the same path I was. And to this day, I still love him. But so it was, we were together the last 5 years. And then I was on my own journey. And the reason why I say that, I can't tell you the significance that, you know, Scott is becoming just this all-encompassed boyfriend slash partner slash husband slash self-reflection for me. Because, you know, I'm 47. I broke up with Greg when I was 30. This is 17 years in the making. And, you know, for most of the 17 years, it was really the dating of multiple partners and, you know, basically going, I don't believe there's one man that for me. Nope, that doesn't exist. You know, I have to have several because for whatever the reason, that's just what I felt. And where today, you know, I stand in awe of my reflections, you know, which.
I love that, though. I can feel your awe.
Yeah.
I can.
It's amazing.
I know.
It's amazing.
Well, and, you know, it's so interesting that you say that because there's a, and once again, always unpredictable and, you know, unfolds as it unfolds and, you know, as it should. But as you integrate along the way, it's your relationship with Scott has integrated into this one person who, because you're integrating into
more of a whole.
And, you know, and I was noticing, you know, you always can notice, I mean, look at a garden, look at, you know, a creative piece of work, look at a person, look at anything, and you'll go, you know, I see flourishing there, you know. And and I, when you were describing the interaction or and the connection with you and Scott, there's just a flourishing, which is what happens when, you know, it's alive and it's, you're both in it. And, you know, there's such a visual difference and a sensory difference between flourishing and not flourishing. That
absolutely.
Like,
absolutely.
Yeah. And then, of course, you and I, what I feel, you know, because I'm so drawn to do the radio with you because it's just truly fun for me. And I'm learning all the time about myself and being surprised, and it's very creative, and so this is flourishing. You know, this feels like a flourishing. But it, you know, it's it's just, it is remarkable. And it's, and it, and you know, it's like, okay, so it's one radio show and it's your relationship, but they're so meaningful to me, you know? And yet, you know, it's like, it's not a, whoa, a big deal. It's just, so, you know, it's just so, that's why I love the intimate. I love the small. I like the, like the stories I write, I feel that they're, and I, you know, people go, don't say that, but I do. I feel they're like a small story. They're intimate. They're like, pull you into this world, but it's not like a big epic, you know, Lawrence of Arabia, you know, it, which, by the way, I love Lawrence of Arabia, but like, it, there's this small incoming invitation into
well, and
into
I'll
life.
Be honest with you, though, not everybody can tell the intimate story. You know, in other words, it's microcosm, macrocosm. I believe,
yeah,
because it's,
yeah,
fractal. Both stories are telling the same thing, but different points of view. But it's still,
yeah,
the same truth. You know?
Yes, yes, yes. And so, no, so I always, I don't know, it's just, I guess that's why, you know, when you described even, and I do think this was such a great, what's that word when you like highlight a word or you tag it with a little note or something. When you,
okay,
described your studio to me with the,
yeah,
plants and the birds, I was like, whoa, that's flourishing. And I'm like, that's inside her. And that, you know, and it just, talk about manifestation. It was just
so
in
good,
you.
Janine. You're so
it was
good.
Just in you. And it was,
okay,
happening.
I got it. But listen, though, I never,
sorry,
said it on the air. Do you mind if,
oh,
I,
yes,
said it on the air? Because I know the power,
yes,
of it. And Simon's,
no,
here.
I
Lisa's
like
here. Eagle's here. Okay, so Scott has been talking about moving to New Orleans for like the last 2 years. I mean, it's so funny. He listens to radio stations online from New Orleans. I literally used to go, who needs to go to New Orleans? It's right here in the house. But what's so funny is my perspective was always, I mean, all right, it's New Orleans. You know, Katrina kicked New Orleans' ass. You know, it's 200 feet below sea level. You know, I was so being scientific going, and literally I would go, well, he's on his own. I just don't feel a call to go there, you know. And then a couple of weeks ago, me and Janine are talking. And remember, and if you've been following, I realize we're doing a different time slot. So if you look, check out the past shows for the past couple of weeks, Janine has really helped me connect with my artist as an aspect of perception, the artist way. And there is absolutely an artist way as opposed to a teacher. I've been a teacher for many, many years, and I'm letting go of the teacher, which is ironic because the more I do my artist thing, the teaching is just becoming part of it. But it's not my focus. It's just,
well, can
it's
I just say
what,
something here?
Of course, of course.
Yeah, because that whole artist part, what I noticed when Goldie would talk to me, I would notice these, like, dedication to her nature and these cycles of feelings. And you know, I go with her on where she's talking, and I'm going, well, you know, she's so dedicated to her authentic nature. And I said to her, Goldie, that's an artist. You're an artist. That's your artist nature. That's what artists do. That's how they live by. They live by that. That's their calling. And it's like she's, and then I would feel this little moment of silence and be like, oh, yeah.
I mean, guys, do you get what she just says? Because this is for all of us.
Because when someone's not connected, like literally, you know, going, oh, that's what that is. You can almost feel a little like, whoa, what's wrong with me? Why isn't the rest of the world talking about this? Or what are they, what's that like? Why don't they feel this, you know, movement and this incredible calling? And, you know, I can't move out of my process. This is my process. It's authentic. And, you know, and I'm going, because that's the artist. So it was so great because then she was, okay, so now tell about the whole studio thing. Cause
well,
that
right,
was,
so, okay, so just, so, I mean, she just brought me to tears just saying that because, see, it's a perception game changer because,
yeah,
being the artist, and I'll show you how it manifests. being the artist is very different than being the teacher. Oh, my God, is it different. Okay, so Janine connects me to the artist. And remember, I'm just an artist of consciousness, of a natural passion to wanting to know me and what
right.
makes me tick and why am I creating this in my life and why am I creating that in my life. So then we started talking about, we started using the language of being an artist. And I said to her that, you know, my beloved Dakini, who's at the vet right now getting a flea bath and checked out, and I love her dearly. I had said to Janine, I think the next animal I get, I'm 47, I have basically had cats in my life and dogs when we were younger, but I'm a cat person. Since I was like 5 years old when I snuck my first kitten in, you know, my mom knew it and said, of course you can keep the cat.
Mm-hmm.
So I told Janine that I think when Dakini goes, naturally, of course, I want to start exploring the big birds, whether it be a parrot, a cockatiel, an Asian gray. You know, I mean the big birds, like we have in the picture, Petey. I have a picture of a white cockatiel who was a rescue bird at a Renaissance fair. And I was just so struck by how big his claws were, how strong his beak was, and the instantaneous connection with this clearly vibrant, intelligent being. I mean, it was just like, bam! And I was like, you know, I would really like to have that. So through conversations, you know, Scott's dad, when he was alive, had a bird, and just Scott was like, they're noisy. You know, Scott's not feeling the bird thing so much. And so I was like, well, you know, listen, this is not going to happen until Dakini passes, and more than likely, when my father passes, ironically, I'm going to become, you know, a relatively wealthy woman when my father passes. And, you know, hey, bravo to me, but I don't live by that. I don't care. You know, I'll keep my dad around until the very end. I'm doing just fine on my own. But he is 77, so that truth will come when that truth comes. And so when that money comes, because I get it, it takes a lot of money to really take care of these birds and give them what they need. And so I was sharing with her, you know, well, I would, you know, like, I'll get my own apartment, and I would make, you know, like, two or three rooms. I'll get rooms that are connected, and they'll be the bird's room. You know, it's like, and then I'll have maybe a different living space, like my kitchen and maybe a dining room or something for people to come over if they don't do the bird. You know, if they don't like the birds, they can come chill over here. And then me and Janine just started talking about, well, Janine really introduced me. She was like, you know, at some point you could actually just build a studio. But the studio where Janine does her artwork in the studio, I could build like a one-room, you know, house slash studio slash, you know, kind of like a garage type of deal where it's one room and house my birds. Because then I went, well, oh, my God, well, I also want plants in this, of course, and I want snakes. I'm also a fan of snakes, which I know doesn't make any sense, but I am. And
the Garden of Eden.
Very much in the garden. I mean, these are all the animals that are exotic, but I'm very much attracted to, most definitely the birds. I'm Golden Hawk. Hello. Maybe it's time to start having some experiences with birds. And when we talked about this, I realized, you know, it was like, if I was to go, because first of all, the minute she got me into the artistic point of view, I started clearly recognizing New Orleans is everything I said it was, but New Orleans is a mecca for artists and musicians. It's a mecca. I mean, that is who they are. Pardon?
It's lush and plants and birds and tropical.
Oh, it's land. It's warm. I mean, and I'm going, and in all honesty, it's relatively inexpensive because Katrina really did kick their ass. So building there, you know, they love anybody that's willing to build there, and there's just all sorts of help. And it just, so all of a sudden, I mean, we had this conversation one day about a month ago, and I think I was either at work or I was at my dad's, and I ran home to Scott. I was like, babe, I want to go to New Orleans with you because it was now, it fit my world too, because because I was like, I had already mentioned the birds to Scott. Scott got very much shaken a little by it because he was like, he associated it with his dad, and it was just not a good scene in his house. And I was like, no, babe, listen, we will do this, first of all, when the time is right. And, you know, when we move to New Orleans, his mom is still around. My dad is still around. We're not going until both of them are, you know, joyfully sitting in heaven with each other. So when we are freed up to do that, you know, I assured him, I was like, listen, I'll build my studio. And that was exactly the words I was like, you have your studio here where he plays his drums and now he's playing trombone. You know, I said, my studio will be filled with my passion, which is plants and animals and things that are alive.
Yeah, and also, yeah, but also that I recognized, and I shared this with you, and I mean, you know, the studio that you were creating was already in you. Like, mm-hmm. And I recognized that. I was like, this alive, flourishing sanctuary of expression that is for you, which is so healthy because that's our sovereignty, although it can be shared because it's, you know, it's nearby to, you know, whether it's attached or nearby to a shared space, but it is your space. And it's your space, but it's also your space within you. And so I completely, when I heard you discussing it, I already knew it was inside you, you know. Yeah, that's you know, I mean, it's, you know, when someone says, you know, like they'll go, you know, the book is inside me. I just haven't put it on words yet, you know.
You're
or, you know, I'm about to paint a painting and I don't know what it's going to look like, but I know it's in me. Or, you know, it's that same thing. But, you know, this is, I mean, for me, you know, and these are my favorite things, my conversations, because I've gone through this and, you know, had to recognize my artist and honor it or I wasn't going to flourish. And, you know, I had to do that for my life. I mean, it was down to like, you know, hey, did you notice it's not working out there? You know, it's like, you know, and it was because the artist wasn't being given her sovereignty and her space and her expression and her due respect and her honor. And so, you know, I went through, oh my God, you know, talk about those 17 years, and they were all inside me, you know, and that's so cool because that's when I started making initiation art way back in like 95 and forward. But, you know, these were pieces that were literally like in me going, you know, here you are, here's your staff of integrity, here's your release of sorrow, here's your dancing tree man, you know, here's your little companion, the moth.
There's your aspects. There's your aspects.
And here's your deep feminine nature, the magic gown. Hold on to your hat because you're going for a big ride.
Right on, dude.
And you know, when you like enter that space, which I just like, you know, it comes with all kinds of like, you know, you just, it's like the song in the beginning. It's like you just feel you dropped in, you know, so it's just, it's been so great to, like, in what would be an innocent conversation of, hey, Jay, how you doing? You know, oh, okay, how you doing? And next thing you know, we dropped into, like, you know, that place where we talked about your studio and the studio's inside you, and then you got that, you know, you don't have to give up one for the other, that's the both end, and, you know, your sanctuary is like absolutely key to your well-being, and it's the only way you can truly love yourself or someone else, truly. And, you know, it just flashed that, like, I was like, oh, I knew I forgot to tell Goldie something. About 4 days ago, I woke up and I went, oh my God, I was in New Orleans.
What?
Yeah, in a dream. I was
really?
In New Orleans. Yeah, but I was like, I gotta tell Goldie.
Oh my God, totally.
But I forgot.
Oh, what? What, in the last few days?
No, like 4 days ago.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. what were you doing? Were you doing book signings or what were you doing?
I don't remember, but I woke up going, I was in New Orleans. And
oh,
so
wow.
I was like,
you just, oh, wow. That,
isn't
I
that
like
funny?
That sign. That's a great omen, man.
I know,
that's
isn't
a
that
great
funny?
Omen.
Well, yeah.
You know, what I really hope everybody's getting listening to this is, see, everything Janine's telling me, apply to self. This
yeah.
is all self-applicable. You know, having our sanctuary.
Oh,
and
yeah.
And I'm telling you, the world and the powers that be, whether it be the government, the Illuminati, whatever you want to call it, they had the programming of the world has us all being, quote-unquote, teachers. And I'm telling you, from my personal experience, my teaching has kicked up three notches and expanded, let's just say, to four other megahertz in influence since I have connected with the artistic
mm-hmm.
aspect of who I am. It's the right side of the brain. It's not lesson one, lesson two, lesson three. You know, it's really about vulnerability. Because, you know, what's so amazing is, okay, so I have this epiphany, you know, oh, my God, not only would I love to move to New Orleans because it's an artistic mecca,
yeah.
my boyfriend already wants to go there. and I got to tell you guys something. I mean, this is the God's honest truth. Okay, so you guys all know Scott is autistic, and Scott does the stymieing, I believe that's what it's called. And stymieing is when you do rocking. You know, it's a way of releasing energy physically. So Scott has been a drummer since I've met him. In fact, and it's so weird because I've always dated drummers. It's funny how that kind of shows up in life. So Scott would drum, and it's a release, you know. And it when I say that, meaning I never really saw a change, Scott. Okay, well, like 4 days ago, Scott ordered and received a trombone.
Mm.
Now the trombone is very artistic. It's still making music, but this has nothing to do with Scott's stymieing. This has everything to do with him. He's teaching himself how to play the trombone. He's, you know, he's so dedicated, like I am to finding myself. He is very dedicated to learning how to play this instrument. Now, what's so amazing is the reflection I see is that as he's now connected to playing music from an artistic point of view, his sensuality has skyrocketed. I mean, he is unbelievably becoming more sensitive in the lovemaking, and not just lovemaking, you know, wham, bam, that kind of stuff. I mean, he came into the shower with me yesterday, and I'm not telling you this stuff, you know, to be crude. I'm telling you that, see, this is what happens to all of us when we open up to our artistic nature.
Exactly. And the word is open. Right.
Exactly.
And it's unpredictable, though, because, you know, that's, you know, who, you know, it's like, you know, there he is, and he ordered a trombone, and you're, you know, unrelated, but synchronistically, you're imagining your studio lush and with birds, and, you know, and you even talked about easels and paint, and, you know, and then
That's true. I did.
Right,
yes,
and to me, it's even, and color and movement, but to me, it's just your space of expression and creativity and your space. So, but that openness that, you know, I don't want a formula. There is no formula. It's just open up by whatever means that is naturally called to, you know.
And more than the conditioning. That I don't know the formula, but I
no,
know.
No, I don't even want the formula. Like, it's an unpredictable, organic opening.
Absolutely.
You know,
absolutely.
And it's a dedication and a calling to an authenticity. And, you know, the Eagle wrote, let me just say this, because this was on the tip of my tongue. Be Safe in N-O, No. And
New Orleans. I didn't understand what it
meant.
Oh,
New Orleans.
I got that.
I'm thinking, because it was going in alignment exactly with, you know, when you're dedicated to your authentic self and, you know, the artist, that's the drive.
Right.
There's, I always, and I'm working with a screenplay writer who, you know, looks to me to help her, because she's, you know, she's younger than me, and she's, you know, it takes courage to expose yourself to the world, and it takes
right
a vulnerability. And I'm like, and I only have one word for you to hang up with: be defiant, because you to be defiant to the outside conditionings that kind of come in, and they want to contain, you know, an expression of authenticity that I know you really, I mean, it's okay, because maybe that's the tension where the artist really thrives on, you know, it's like, I'm going to express this, and no matter what, well, that's good, that tension's good, but the defiance is important. And so it's so funny, when I saw N.O., I was like, yeah, no.
Be safe in the no.
Yeah, I was like, oh yeah, defiant, you know,
right on.
And I just heard someone say that, whether I read it, but it was,
I think,
like,
Matt Vegan said that.
Yes, he did. He was like,
yeah,
and it was like, there's the word, you know. So,
yeah.
So, you know, someday, Goldie, really soon, you know, we can have fun and make a list of the words that I feel are, they hold an energy, you know.
Absolutely.
And, you know, yes, that would be really fun, and let everyone sort of look over the sheet and go,
okay. Play it out. Play with them.
Right.
Yeah, definitely.
See what that triggers. You know,
exactly.
or activate, you know.
Yeah.
So, So back to New Orleans.
Well, back to the artistic point of view, because, I mean, so if you're following, you know, the journey here, it's like to be in alignment with the one I love, to wanting to move to where he wants to move to. I mean, it might not sound like much, but oh my God, it's just a major piece where, like, I can literally see myself now dreaming to be with him. My dream is his dream, and it's not that it's his dream. He loves playing music, and I'll be just humbled pink if when we get down there, instead of the drums that he's playing, he's playing the trombone. Because, you know, I've known him for 4 years, and I really do see the difference already. Mm. And he's only 4 or 5 days into this trombone. I mean, we're cracking up. The sounds coming out of this instrument are too funny. But it's him that's changing.
Yeah.
And he's changing profoundly. And it's not just about, you know, how he's, you know, coming into bed with me. I mean, it's, there's a softening. So there it is again. It's
the
softening.
Word,
yeah. It's not about, you know, just banging on something to like I was telling Janine, Scott has these neighbors to the left of him, and they there's a feud going on, and I don't support the feud, but it's there. Yesterday, the son of the people that lived there came over and basically rang the bell. I mean, I was shocked. I was like, we were eating dinner, and I went, okay, what is this about? And Scott answered the door, and they basically said, listen, we took the pool cover off our pool, and we draped the cover over the fence, so some of it's on your side. Is that okay? And Scott went, yeah. And, you know, the guy said, okay, and went back next door. And, you know, Scott came back to the table and continued eating dinner. And I went, wow, like, is the feud over? And, you know, he was like, well. And it was funny because when I put it into words like that, he was like, no, you know, I'll go over there and kick the dog. Don't worry. You know, I mean, it was just, you know, his reaction. And I went, well, babe, I think the feud is over, because the bottom line is he told the guy, it's okay. I mean, it's like, you know, I can tell sometimes Scott's words, his body is in a different space than his words. God knows I've been there. And so, you know, I saw the softening with that. And, you know, like I said, when we're working consciously and you're noticing everything. The small things do become big things, because you can see it. You can see the reprogramming going on. I mean, you really can. I can see my relationship. Like, I asked Scott the other day, I go, are you up for doing this forever with me? And he was like, yeah, I am up for that. And I was like, me too, babe. That, we just don't say words like that to each other normally. You know, because I normally, you know, and I listen, live in the moment, definitely. It's all about the now. But I was telling this on a couple of shows ago. If you want a commitment from your guy and you're feeling, or your girl, and you're feeling that they're, you know, like me and Scott, inherently me, I'm not sure about Scott, but inherently me, I've played the break up, get back together throughout many of my relationships. When I started seeing the significance that, you know, Scott was really somebody I wanted to commit to, we got married on New Year's Eve because we did a commitment ceremony from our soul's perspective. And I can tell you, both our souls have honored that commitment. And it's like this, it's like the director of the play continues to guide us back to each other. Yeah. And so I'm not a firm, how do I word this? I don't support the Constitution of marrying by government standards. It's so funny because I get it that the gays and the lesbians, you know, want, you know, they want that to be a law. And I get it. If it wasn't a law for me, I'd probably want it to be a law too. But I'm really not support, I'm not in support that I've got to pay a lawyer $1,500 if my relationship is complete. I just want to walk when my relationship is complete. But I do really honor and respect a soulful commitment. And I can tell you, the ceremony we had, as humble as it was, has hands down, once again, shown up in the actual experiences that I'm having in my life. You know, and people are like, ah, that's malarkey. You know, ah, that don't be nothing. No, that's just not truth. These are the powers that we have that, you know, and that's what I would tell my gay friends. Have the ceremony, have the party, do everything, because ultimately it's in that commitment. And I get it. See, they want, you know, there's other legalities that they want based on who can come into a hospital room when you're dying or, or, you know, so there's legalities that, you know, I'm not necessarily referencing. I'm more referencing
equal rights, which is a right for everybody. And so once you have that, obviously, if it was, you know, full out legal in all the United States, and then, you know, then you could go, well, now that, okay, equal rights, you know, then you can choose to do what you want, make it legal, make it not legal, whatever. But, you know, but it is about equal rights. But, you know,
and I am for equal rights, just so that's known. I am definitely for equal rights. I just don't support the Constitution of marriage for me. I just don't. It doesn't work. It doesn't really work for me.
Well,
maybe I'll marry Scott if I ever have the hospital stay and I want him to come visit me.
Well, there always is the option to do whatever you want.
To change my mind. That's exactly right. We all have the right to change our minds.
Right.
But you know, it's just the journey. The journey that, you know, we're coming into, you know, the summer solstice 2012. The energies are, oh, my God. Deeply, deeply kicking it, kicking us, kicking their heels up, really showing up as, in my humble opinion, great changes. And yet, nothing to be frightened of. And yet, as Janine said so eloquently, and this runs in my head, I mean, it rings in my head, these words, it's undoing us. Just 'cause the energies coming in are really the divine feminine. It's a love that is so powerful. It's undoing, like, that which is not in harmony with quote-unquote life. life is going, it's time to balance itself. And, you know, all the chaos that we're seeing inside our own beings, as well as on the news, as well as on Facebook with, you know, our friends from around the world, it is undoing us in a most beautiful, beautiful, organic way.
Mm-hmm.
And that is my perspective. And in my humble opinion, that is the artist's perspective, because the artist can express the dark as being valuable just as much as it can the light, because all you have to do is look at paintings and say, oh, look at the shadow work, how awesome that shadow work was. And so there it is, right? There it is symbolically. Look at the shadow work. Okay, that's what we're looking at.
You can't, authentic expression is authentic expression. And, you know, so, you know, that's what stands on, you know, its own. So,
right.
You know, that's a force that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I love Patrick O'Neill, one of my good friends, and teaches me quite a bit, and really lovely person. You know, he always says, you know, when you're in alignment, really, with your authentic self, and those, you are a force to be reckoned with, because there is just this harmony and moving through, and, you know, and I do at times really feel that way. You know, I'm like, wow, I feel that. I feel that, you know, that force to, like, you feel like a force. And, you are the force. And so,
you are the force, exactly.
Yeah, you feel it. You know, and then there are other times where, you know, it's almost like I feel like I'm gathering and integrating. And, you know, even yesterday, you know, and I said to Goldie with humor, because humor's with me a lot, I said, boy, you know, it's amazing when you really do get that inside every cell is a little black hole, and within that black hole is infinity, and that basically then we are infinity. And when you contemplate that at a level where you start to get that, it's amazing how you need a few days to sort of integrate that. Because I do believe that there's almost like, as a poem I wrote once, and I'll post it, it's like something cellular is going on here, you know? And
exactly.
And so, you know, but I will, you know, you'll love this, but by the virtue of being on this show with you expressing this stuff,
okay,
I literally feel physically better. Like,
oh.
I was feeling really tired yesterday, and really like, whoa. And I knew last night I was like, gotta take the night off, just need this, you know, and you got it completely, and you honored
totally.
It, and it was great, and
yeah.
Then even today I was going, I'm tired, and, I'm so unlike me to ever sort of have a backache, but I had one, and, you know, and I'm like, that's unusual, and then I'm thinking, you know, okay, you're going to do the show, and then, you know, this is just the beauty of it all. You start talking, and it's like, wow, I feel physically better. I feel physically more alert. I feel just sharper in my, you know, like acuity, you know, and you're like, well, there it is. It's probably similar to times when I went, what's wrong? And I go up and I stand in front of a canvas and I just start painting, and then like 4 hours are gone and you're like, I feel better. You know,
yeah.
And it's because something was needing expression, or, you know, and you know, it's really cool though, because it's so perfectly mysterious in ways, but that yet scientific in another. And, you know, and Goldie and I are both very into the science of it and the mysteriousness of it, because I am both, and so are you. And so I feel it. I feel it both in a scientific way, but I also feel it in a mysterious way.
Right on.
And so, I feel better.
That's awesome. That is awesome. And it really is the expression that, or it's the example, you know, again, of the artist's way, you know, because it seems to me, at least to me, this energy needs to be expressed. I mean, that is the message to all of us. It needs to be expressed, whether you're talking on the phone with a friend, shucks, you can be in the car talking to nobody. You can be in the woods talking to nobody.
Right.
Whether you're painting it, drawing it, singing it, playing it, you know, tapping your hands on the table. It's the expression, because it feels like when I went into the woods, what was it, yesterday, I had not been in the woods for about 8 days, whether it was because of work or weather. But I started like literally my body was like, the trees, Goldie, get me to the trees.
Yeah.
And I could feel it like I was at Scott's, and early in the morning he was outside cutting the grass, and I'm going, Why did he get to cut the grass? Why do I have to stand in here? And it was like, Goldie, get dressed and go to the woods. Because I knew yesterday we were going to go to his mom. So, and, you know, it was so beautiful because, you know, I got dressed and he was outside cutting the grass. And, I just walked right up to him because I have this belief that when I leave Scott's house, he's going to be upset by me leaving, and it's not from ego, like, oh, you know, if I leave him he'll be upset. It's not about that. It's about a dynamic that we share in abandonment and things of that nature, and in the healthy aspect of understanding boundaries and how important it is for me to be in the woods. I mean, that this is my wellness, and my well-being is clearly established by time spent in the woods. And again, as I own my boundaries, because this is what I'm learning, it's about owning my boundaries, making choices not based on, oh, well, does it make Scott feel good? No, I'm making choices based on, do I feel good? Because what I was, I guess, trying to communicate earlier in the show is, I think a lot of women go through this, men might go through this, but I tend to know more women that go through this, that when they go into a relationship, they lose their identity. And everything is done for the partner, because, you know, the wanting to be loved so badly that you just want to give that person everything that they would want, you know, that they love, so therefore they'll love you. And I'll tell you, when you have authentic love, when you are being authentic to yourself, and then your partner loves you, oh my God, you just, it's like you don't, there's no leakage, like there's no energy leakage, there's nothing you need to shift, there's nothing that's codependent about that, that is truly sovereignty, where you get to be you and your partner loves you for it. Like, I'm telling you, I know it might sound like nothing, but to experience it is, it's off the hook, and I'm experiencing it. I'm experiencing being me. And at first it was about doing things and I was risking. Like, I kept going, oh, this could lose Scott. And that's when you start, if you're going through those changes like that, that's when you're working the flipping of your beliefs, because your beliefs have created a relationship. So when you start flipping them, if you're still in a relationship that was created from the original belief, there's no guarantee that relationship will survive the new flip.
No, and that's part of the whole, that's it, you know, that's being in the hot kitchen, you know. I mean,
that's being in the hot kitchen.
That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. And, you know, and, hey.
Take it away, babe. This is your area. Yes.
No, it is. That's it, you know. When you're making decisions that, the risk is you don't know the outcome. But that is truly right there to take that risk is a game changer, no matter what, no matter what the outcome.
Right. Yeah.
So you know, and the big leap for a person is when they can detach from the outcome. When the outcome is, you know, what is the best thing, you know, will happen. And I know that's frightening, and, you know, sometimes everybody, you know, it's almost like, oh, I'd rather die than really go through that one.
It's the antithesis of control. It's the opposite of control.
Yeah, and so, yeah, it is. And that's it. That's the big risk. That's the big undoing. That's the big, you know, everything. And but in the, you know, those little decisions, though, those moments, they don't seem, they're, you know, they're, you can, like, every day we could basically end up in those decisions. And, you know, it's really good to become aware of them, because the more decisions you make based on authenticity, like you said it earlier, I think, when we were talking by ourselves, it just becomes like automatic, you know. That's
right.
When you get into what they call almost the flow.
Yeah.
Like, you know,
yeah.
Max was talking about,
Egan.
You know, he was, you know, it's almost like it becomes, you know, a flow, or, oh, the synchronicities. It's like, it's not necessarily, that's because you're in your authenticness, and that's how life kind of really, honestly, life should be. It really
well,
is.
It's actually the organic of how life is.
It is the organic, right. So
right.
We're in awe of it, but the truth is that's the natural state of life.
Yeah.
You know, and so.
Yeah.
So
we're just reconnecting with it from.
Yeah, and when you start really getting that, you're like, wow.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Where have I been?
Well, it clearly makes a difference. I mean,
where have I been?
And it will become natural in that
right.
You won't have to be so, you don't have to think about it. That it just becomes who you are in the support of your authenticity. And so if the particular relationship you're in at the moment doesn't survive that flip, I can almost promise you, you'll attract the next relationship that will.
Yeah,
you know,
and
so,
you're right. And when I do therapy, that is the premise of the therapy, that, you know, this is not about the outcome. This is about the present and what.
Right.
And I think that, you know, that's why there's not a lot of people in masses running to that place.
Hey, wait, we got a call. We have a call.
Really? Oh,
we
okay.
Do. I think I know this person, but I'm not sure. So I'll just
okay.
Area code 705. You're on the line.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm
here.
Not sure if I know you either. I'm Marcia from Canada.
Oh no, I didn't. I thought you were somebody else. Welcome to the show, Marcia. Thanks for calling.
I just kind of took a break from gardening here and came in and thought, and I had been thinking things while I was gardening and. Really, the last 2 days have been really predominant with, you know, things around women, which I happen to be one. So, and I'm about to be, by next year, I'll have 12 grandchildren.
Wow.
It doesn't seem like that long ago when I was a young woman and not saying I'm that old right now, but it really passed by really quickly, too quickly.
Mm-hmm.
But I was thinking about miracle minds and thinking about all the things as I was gardening and turning over the soil, all the things that people have told me that would not happen, it's impossible. That all the things that people, the predictions, without the miracle mind, which there's no miracles, really. It happens all the time. It's just if you're a loving spirit, then it opens up your femininity, you know, to really, really clear yourself of those negative beliefs and the family patterns that we live out, you know. But I was thinking about being here and where I am now. 2 years ago, I was living in a studio apartment with my partner, and him and I had no money. We were helping and doing all these things and living, you know, doing our very best in a prayerful way to live and walk the planet softly. And I came up to see a friend. I had taken ill for a little while. I think like a deep mourning of that feminine. And I came up here to see a friend way up north in Muskoka. And my friend phoned me when I got home and said, you need to be out in the forest again. Why are you still living in the city? And next thing you know, I came up here to revisit him because he had checked out a house for rent. We had no money, right? Next thing you know, the owner of the house wanted to sell us this house. And I'm like, well, we have no money. He said, that's okay. There's ways around it. So next thing you know, my daughter,
wait a minute,
my
the owner
daughter,
of the house said it's okay, you have no money, there's ways around it?
Yeah.
That's miraculous. Right on.
Well, anyway, just to say, I have docking privilege at a small, it's a community that is very isolated in a way. There's hardly anyone here in the winter, so it's a great place to paint, write, and, you know, have circles if you wish.
Right.
And we have this a cottage that we renovated into a full-time house. Everything that we needed came. We didn't even have a car. A car came. Well, actually a van. And my daughter was phoning me in the midst of the process and said, I don't know why you don't know that you can't buy a house with no money. And I said, she said, it's just not reality. And I said, well, I don't like your reality. I have my own.
Right on.
So I said, if the creator of all life, the great mother, wants to provide me a home where I can welcome people in and welcome you guys in, then I'm all for that. Well, a month later, I phoned her back, and I said, well, so we just signed the papers for the house. What?
Wow. Wow.
That is fantastic.
And then, you know, we went from no credit to my husband found a job. I was still recovering. I know about renovations. He doesn't. So, and I had all kinds of friends who were coming to help. And here we are. So,
wow. That's a great story. Thank you.
I
went out one night in my bare feet in my nightgown because you can walk around here at night with your nightgown and walk down to the lake, which is 5 minutes away.
Okay.
Yeah.
And, you know, there's bears that come around once in a while. There's blue herons and lots of woodpeckers who knock at my doors at night and the daytime. A beautiful red fox comes and stands on the snowbank and looks into the living room in the winter.
Nice.
He's become a friend.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I just...
So Mother Nature is your sponsor, I see.
Well, yeah.
Mother Nature's our sponsor on Mystical Mother Earth Show. She's our sponsor, too. So I totally read. Your reality is our reality. Truly.
When I was little, I didn't have very many friends. And I have many people I know. But I know, you know, I found things growing up which drew me close to nature rather than people for whatever reason, and there's still tendrils there. I was barred from having friends, and, you know, it was a very cruel way of growing up in many, many ways. But through it, I took those lessons and made it into something else. And the one grace is being close to nature, my friends being trees and animals and rather than people. And then I had to, you know, kind of get a trust, which I found deep within me, and a love, which I found deep within me, for people. Because I thought we were way too mean to each other.
Yeah,
and particularly for women, you know. And young children, you know, I realize most people don't even know the other person who's standing next to them. They don't even know their own children and realize that that person, whoever they are, whether they're old, young, they are so miraculous. It's incredible. There's a whole, when they cross over, which they're not dead, but there's a whole stories that go with them. And, you know, particularly the elderly, there's so much that they can share with us because they've been here longer.
Yeah, totally.
The cranky ones.
They well, the can cranky share ones are cranky because we've, you know, literally left them in a home to die. I mean, they wouldn't be cranky if they were, you know, in our culture, we reach a certain age, and I would say it's probably about mid-40s, where you can see it. You can see it with the actors and the actresses that, you know, start doing the surgeries where, you know, they, right on, Janine, where, the, you know, they're literally fighting for their youth instead of entering the stage, which all the Aborigines throughout the whole world have always understood the wisdom of the sage, and it's exactly what you just said. It's the experience. They have the experience. So, you know, this is what I'm learning from my own life. What to teach, all I'm really doing is sharing my experience. That's the greatest teacher, not learning the mechanics of a personality disorder. I mean, not saying that that's not, there's parts of that that are required, but the truth
is personality disorders really are caused from a total sense of loneliness and detachment.
And disconnect. Yeah.
I don't believe in mental illness.
I believe that there's definitely levels of dimensions we all are living in, but I don't consider it an illness.
There are some levels that I don't want to go improve on. Like, there's some happenings in the world where, you know, mass executions and stuff like that. Really dark stuff. I just want to be clear to spirit. I'm okay not being an expert about everything.
You don't have to bring that to your doorstep. I honor that.
I'm okay not knowing that. You know,
let me ask you a question. Do you feel right now, for you personally, are you starting to feel like you do fit in and that there is purpose to your life from the point of view of you being authentic,
I'm not happy news to a lot of women, and I've grown accustomed to that. I'm happy news to the ones who are seeking, and I'm doing my best to adjust. I've been, you know, in no moon time now since I was 49, and for anyone who is listening that's younger, I really wish I would have prepared more, perked up more, and talked to the older ones who had been through it and look reasonably healthy. It is, lucky for me, I had done a great chunk, like huge, 20-some years before this happened, of personal work. So I didn't have too much terrorizing. Skin was pretty thick by that time with the, you know, happenings in my life. So I learned not to take that personal so much. But what I'm feeling about that, I'm feeling more like I need to go dance.
No words.
Like, I need to dance it. No words.
Okay.
That I would much rather celebrate people than talk about where I've been.
There's so much value, though. Like, just, you know, Goldie had mentioned a word of being in awe of having a relationship with Scott right now, and my friendship with her, and I could feel her awe, and then I'm sitting here in this, my own, you know, small awe of, a woman who was gardening in a vast place in Canada in the north takes a break and calls us and shares an incredible story about, you know, how life unfolds in ways that, like, people don't think they unfold. And I'm thinking, what a gift, what a surprise. And then, you know, I'm undone, and I'm really, really feel lucky to, you know, be on this radio show and what appears to be random, but, you know, so beautiful. And I feel so lucky to have you call us. And it was such a surprise, which is always what Goldie and I, we smile about, that these things happen just like this person goes, I think you need to come in the woods. And, you know, there's a house here. And the man who owns it goes, well, there's ways around that. You don't need that. You know, I mean, to me, you have, you know, if you could really, and I'm not saying you're not, but just appreciate that you touching us, calling us, is such an act of, you know, to me, I'm affected by you today. And so
right on.
Beautiful. And, you know, and you're right. You're a woman, and, you know, it's the deep feminine nature, and it's a very, you know, like maybe it is threatening to some other women because it's not necessarily the, you know, the typical way, but it's stunning. It's stunning. And so, you know, I just wanted to say that I'm glad you reached out and you spoke to us. I mean, definitely go dance because it sounds great, but thank you for speaking to us. Because
thank you very much. Really,
yes.
We are all about the mystical Mother Earth around here, and your story is, you know, really the epitome of the mystical. You know, like even your daughter goes, this isn't the way it's done. And yeah, it can be, though. It might not be the way it's always been done, but it can be. It can be.
She is 36, and how they were raised when they were young was, if they told me, oh, that person has lights around them, oh, yeah, and what do you feel?
Right.
And they would tell me, the oldest would say to me, Mommy, there's two people who talk to me, and they tell me they were on Earth a long time ago, and it was really hard,
right.
And things like this.
Yeah.
So they were my eldest, because I was young too, I was 17 when I had her. She always hoped that I would grow older so I'd fit in with the mothers. And now that I'm older, she's like,
stop growing.
Yeah, and I always say to them, I'm not dyeing my hair.
But I like how you always fit in with the big mother, Mother Earth.
I dyed my hair finally for my middle, last daughter, because she was like, Mom, please let me cotton dye your hair. And, you know, just for the wedding, one of my daughters was getting married. So I looked at her face and I knew this would be a gift to her, which would be a gift to me. I can do that.
Right on.
So I let her style my hair and do all these things. And, I mean, I couldn't have given her a better gift. She just wanted to do something for me.
Nice.
And then I said to her, you won't be offended when I grow my hair long again and don't dye it, right? Because my mortality does not scare me.
Right on.
Oh, and I said to my daughters who are, you know, 36 and down, I said, you know, what you're actually afraid of here is your own death.
Yeah.
Afraid of what that means. And what I'm doing is I am taking my time and I'm creating a new story for a family through my own, whether or not you accept it and find your story of how you relate in it all. I wish to radiate beauty when I'm older.
Listen, we're going to have to cut this short because there's a few more things I want to cover. But thank you for calling in.
Thank you so much.
Please call back. Call back. Just so you know, we normally do our show Monday nights at 8:00 Eastern time. But, you know, life has it that we do it sometimes sporadically if one of us isn't feeling well or, you know, just not up for doing a show. But, you know, feel free to hit the following. you're a fascinating woman, and I really appreciate your calling. I really, really do.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
And say hello to the garden for me.
Oh, I will. And the sage and everything.
Get the tomatoes for us.
I'm going to sit back and listen.
Okay. Right on. All right.
Thank you for calling in.
All right. Take care, beautiful.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye now.
Bye.
Wow.
Yes.
The Mystical Mother Earth Show delivers, people.
Surprises.
Oh my God. If she's not in touch with her artist, boy.
I needed that story.
Yeah, huh.
I really like it. Yeah, because my book's just coming out, you know, and there's a lot of, you know, don't worry about it, Jay. It's all going to happen. And it's like, and her story really, really reinforced the whole. When it's in alignment and you trust it, and it just that's it, you know? So I really appreciate it.
And that whole being authentic, too. You know, it's like,
yes.
How many people probably said to her, I mean, not even just her daughter, what are you thinking, buying a house with no money? I'm like, what I take from that is this is the power of authenticity that we live in right now. Right now, yes. In 2012, our beliefs are creating our experience. This is, feel that, everybody. Feel it, because, you know how people say, like I was reading Dr. Susan Lee's newsletter,
yes.
And she basically wrote something to the effect of, you know, we're getting closer to the frequency of the fifth dimension where everything will be manifested instantly. But don't think for a minute, just because it's not manifesting instantly, that you're not the creator of it.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
We're the creator of it, whether it's manifesting, you know, with a time lag or whether we're doing it instantly. The one constant in that equation is we are creating our realities, always.
Yeah, and those miracles, like the synchronicities, they're the norm. They're not the abnorm, but, you know, it's when you're in that. Yeah, so it,
right,
you know, that really struck me right away when she said that, because, you know, even when I was with that woman at that book signing and I resuscitated her, and I was like, what? She's okay? That defies everything I know. And it was like, Janine. And you know what was so amazing about that? I was thinking about this driving in the car 2 days ago, and I was like, oh, I have to tell Goldie that again. Because what it reinforced is what that woman just said. And I believe her name was Marcia. Is it Marcia?
She said her name, and
I think it was Marcia.
Marcia?
I think. But I remember, because she said something about the powerful, deep feminine nature and that incredible love. And, you know, I remember... You know, I'm at a book signing, and I'll make this short, but this woman was down, and I just, you know, was the only one who kind of started resuscitating her. But I remember distinctly feeling an enormous love for this perfect stranger laying in front of me on the floor who did not have a heart rate or a pulse and was pretty gone. You know, and I remember I was like, I was touching her with such tenderness, and I felt like I loved her. And it's like surrealistic, because you're in the process of resuscitating someone and trying to understand if they have a heartbeat. And this was a 40-year-old woman, so that was everything that shouldn't be happening. And I remember I was even like, wow, Janine, you love her. And, you know, who knows? I, it's an unpredictable thing, but I was thinking about that the other day going, there it is, you know, and I was like, oh, I got to tell Goldie that again. I know, I know I've told her this, but it really does strike me as a powerful experience of feeling this, you know, you would be busy at resuscitating someone who's like, why are you feeling love for her? And it's like, hey, what comes first, you know, the love or the resuscitation? I think it's the love.
Yeah, right on. Well, and there's no separate, I mean, who are you resuscitating?
Right,
you're resuscitating
right,
an aspect of you.
Right. So I'm just saying it's such a powerful experience, you know, and yeah, and once again, you know, just being on the phone at noon, because I was too tired to talk last night, And now we have a woman calling us while she took a break from her garden up in, like, Manitoba, Canada. That's incredible to me. Incredible.
Well, I must admit, I mean, between Simon in Norway and Seneca in Finland and Marcia in Canada.
And Northern, like, we're talking up there, out there, Canada, you know?
Yeah, right, in the vastness of the planet. Because I swear, I mean, doesn't it really feel... If Mother Earth, Mother Nature is our sponsor, it makes sense that these people who are so deeply connected to such you know, rigorous nature spaces, you know, through the God-blessed technology of Blog Talk Radio, connect here. You know, like the grid of consciousness connecting the love of Earth.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, kind of doing the work with us. I'm not going to say doing the work for us because, you know, it's still up to us to express it.
Yeah, and be courageous and be defiant and be self, you know, the disciple of yourself and take risks and be
undone. Are you listening to this, Simon? Are you hearing all this, my love?
Wait, being undone by loving deeply and feeling deeply and just, you know, because I love to play with words and I'm like, the most dangerous thing there is to love and feel deeply. And it's like,
And that was what I wanted to say. You know, me and Janine have been talking all week and that, I mean, there's profoundness in that genuine love, not conditional love, but the love from our beingness, the aspect of love that's not found in romance novels. It's not found because someone else is, you know, giving you free dental service. I mean, the love that is, on some level, the binding force that kind of holds this whole intelligence together will undo us.
Yeah.
I mean, when you said that to me, Janine, it was so profound because, you know, as I experience love, you know, in depth and in a sequence, because I have definitely had moments alone in nature where I could just feel it. My soul was just bigger than my body, and I was conscious that my presence was more than my body, and that my mind had just I was thought free. And I was just experiencing being with nature from a space of such glorious gratitude. The gratitude was just like, it was just pouring out of me, gushing. It was gushing out of me. And, you know, it's kind of like she said when, you know, the caller said that people came later. You know, I'm just now entering the space where, you know, I'm learning to love people. And it's interesting because I definitely love the people I resonate with. And, you know, ironically, most of them I have not physically met in person. Yet, if there's a metaphor, but I would still throw myself in front of a bus for you guys, I would. Just, I guess it would have to be an internet bus. Yeah, so, but I'm looking forward because, you know, I almost have a sense that, you know, perhaps when me and Scott go to New Orleans, you know, and start our garden and all, you know, when that time comes, that's when, you know, people will be there for me. And I'm not saying I'm not open for it today. It just, from my point of view in the now, you know, I'm just coming into the connection with myself.
Mm-hmm.
And having that, you know, in a small radius, a small group of people, like I said, who the majority I have not even physically met, who are changing my life. I mean, literally changing my life, is just, that's my miracle.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't feel alone. I'm not lonely at all anymore. I mean, I can honestly say I never feel lonely. I enjoy my alone time. I mean, when I'm working nanny gigs on the weekends and my father goes to his girlfriend's house, and it's just me and Dakini in the house, I mean, I'm telling you, I'm skipping around to, you know, skip to my loo, my darling. I love being alone. And there was a time that just that belief was so not a part of my experience. I was just absolutely petrified about physically being in a space with not another human being. I just didn't think I would survive that, just not having another human being around. And that is not my that's not my experience anymore. And I welcome and invite everybody, when the love is undoing you, which I think on some level is going to happen to all of us, when the love is undoing you, allow it and trust it.
Yeah.
You know, don't put up the walls and, you know, the brakes. You know, it's like, trust the love. And of course, you know, I mean, educate yourself. Educate yourself on what's potentially available to you. Educate yourself on, you know, what love looks like. So at least when you know it's happening, even though it could be painful and, you know, because I put in the episode page that the energy is creating for us chaos, but it doesn't have to be chaos. It's kind of like what they say. You can have pain, but there doesn't have to be suffering. You know, the chaos doesn't have to be, you know, something that's taking you down. The chaos is the undoing of the old way of being in support of the clearly magical way of being that's available to all of us. It's available to all of us to have a house without having money. The minute one person does it,
that's
it's available
so
to everybody. Yeah. It's like, I mean, it reminds me of, like, you know, and I'm not biblical. Everybody knows that.
I love that story.
It's a great story.
Yeah.
And remember when Jesus says, you'll do everything I did plus more.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's if one person is doing it, then all of us have that capacity. All of us.
Yeah. And, you know, it's funny because I said to myself, I guess it was in the making of the magic gown when I, you know, it was like a vow to myself or some kind of promise or I don't know. But it was a, in terms of creative expression, it would be absolutely ridiculous, and I wouldn't allow it to let money ever make a decision for me as to whether I couldn't do something creatively or not. Mm-hmm. I just was like, that's the most absurd notion to myself, and I was like, because that's a dumb reason. So, you know, in my way, you know, that's how I just say, no, money's not going to stop me. It's just not, you know, or the lack of whatever. Or, you know, so I think that, you know, that's why this story was so, like, really wonderfully timed for me, you know, that it's possible. And you know, you and I say it, and yet then we just got confirmed from someone who took a break from their gardening, and we're talking on Tuesday in the afternoon, you know, when you say every day is like, what was it, like
milestone.
A mini miracle, a milestone, right.
Milestone
and,
every
and,
day.
Yeah, and it's like, and I'm saying, man, the little things are, you know, are magic, and,
yeah.
You know, and there it is.
Yeah.
There it is, you know,
yeah.
And it's like, hey, you know, who knows, thanks to my backache and being tired, you know, we got to talk to Marcia from Canada, you know, way up there with the bears and everything. And it's like,
right,
for me being, you know, because the whole sequel to The Magic Gown takes place in that kind of territory to me in my head. But it's like, I feel touched by it. I do.
Yeah.
You know?
How can you not be? Because, you know, it's like, the whole show we're going, you know, talk to life. Don't focus your thoughts on, you know, the lifelessness of life.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, so, and, you know, when you're talking to life, life will tell you, hey, come on up here. You know,
yeah.
It's funny because the lifelessness of life would be like, well, did you get a contract? Have you signed anything? Do you know? did they prove that they're going to get blah, 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 blah,
blah. Right. Are you famous?
Where life just simply goes one step at a time.
No, exactly.
You know, it'll unfold. And there's this wonderful thing that, you ever hear that, you know, you have everything to gain and nothing to lose?
Yeah.
That's
yes.
life.
Yes.
That's
absolutely.
Life. Yeah.
Absolutely. You know, Fellini, there was a quote of Fellini's, and because you just reminded me, because, you know, I'm like one of those kids. It's like, you know, the last thing you want to say to me is, oh, calm down, you know, because, you know, like, because I'm one of those kids that gets excited about things. And I'm like, Fellini said something like, never lose your childlike, you know, enthusiasm. And, you know, and I'm here to tell you I haven't.
I didn't realize that. I'm here to confirm that.
mean, you know, my poor brother, sometimes in the morning I'm like, okay, Jay, you got to calm down. This guy's not up yet. You know, I'm sitting there and I'm like, oh, okay. I wonder if Golden Hawk's going to call me.
Well, you can call me. Call me early. I don't mind if you call me early.
I know, and sometimes I do. But
no, and again,
funny.
You know, and if the truth is, if you go outside, you can be. I talk to nature literally, verbally,
yeah.
out loud. I talk to nature all the time. I mean, I was just telling the trees yesterday, because it was interesting. I have all different spots that I kind of relax in for different reasons,
yeah.
sometimes on rocks. With my back on a rock, sometimes with my back on the ground, sometimes with my back on a tree. And I needed the trees, and I loved that it was a holiday, because the place where I sit where my back is on a tree, it's right on path. So, you know, I kind of make myself cozy with, you know, the pads and the blankets, and, you know, I'm just a little snuggle bunny out there. And I like it private, you know, but when you're on path, clearly, people are going to walk by. And, I mean, yesterday was a holiday, so nobody walked by. I was really excited. But so I'm leaning on the tree, leaning back. It's like a lounge. And I'm looking up at the trees, and I'm just talking to them because I counted them. There were 10 of them, and the 11th tree was the one I was leaning on, holding space for me.
Wow.
I've leaned on this tree hundreds of times, but that's what I saw yesterday, because that's what it felt like. As a group, they shared that message with me. You can't,
mm-hmm.
you know, anybody that plays in nature in any way, shape, or form knows it's not done through words. It's done through, I don't know, pictures, experiences, feelings. I don't know, awareness. I don't know. But when I saw these 10 trees and the 11th one with me on it, I was like verbalizing how grateful I was that they were in my life and their leaves were all blossoming, and I was so grateful to be in the shade because it kept it cool, and they were just unwinding and unknotting my energy, which had for the last 8 days progressively gotten more and more tangled.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I was, you know, it's a language that...
That is a language.
And it's...
Yeah.
And it's It never fails. I mean, I never go to the woods and come out pissed off. I just don't. You know? I can go in pissed off, but I never come out pissed off, ever.
Yeah, and that was the same for my son as a surfer. Like, he would go into the ocean all kinds of cranky and, you know, kind of gnarly and come out so peaceful. You know, it was beautiful.
Yeah.
But,
it's
I wanted,
amazing.
I wanted to say what the full thing that Fellini said.
Oh,
really
okay.
Beautiful. He said, you have to live spherically in many directions. Never lose your childish enthusiasm, and things will come your way.
Right on.
I think it's beautiful. And, you know, he was obviously a great artist.
Yeah. Well, isn't he a movie producer or something?
Yeah, he was a filmmaker, but, like, always very wild and incredible imagination. And,
90 seconds.
Oh.
90 seconds. Well,
wow.
Just about out of time. I'm telling you, today is flying by. Before we go off the air, though, let people know where they can find you.
Okay. My website is www.jlkimmel.com, and it's KIMMEL.com.
Right on.
Yeah.
Well, and Spring Tree Press. Oh, go ahead. Sorry, I didn't.
Oh, no, that's okay. And I do have another website where there's books and art, and that's springtreepress.com.
Right.
And I'm also on Facebook, and I'm on Goldie's page, and you can find me, and, you know, love to talk.
Yeah. And you can find me at another reality show, and beautifully now you'll find the Blog Talk Radio page is now very much expressing the Mystical Mother Earth show as the foremost radio show that I am creating with the beloved Janine Kimmel. And I love you, sweetheart. Thank you for doing
this
amazing show. Yeah.
Thank
you. Awesome.
It was really great.
Yeah. Thank you, Simon and Mary Lee and Heartwoman, even though you were only here for a moment. Thank you, everybody that was here earlier. Yeah, Elise. And anybody listening in the archives, you guys all rock, and I'm honored. I'm honored to be able to share with all of you. Thank you, Marcia. Thank you for calling in, Marcia.
Yeah.
The story really touched us all. Thank you.
All right, Goldie, I'll talk to you real soon.
Absolutely. And rock on, baby. We will we will rock again. Next week we'll be rocking you from California, so I look forward
Yay.
To that.
Yay! From
Yay!
To watch away
right,
from
baby
the Pacific
girl.
Ocean. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.
Oh. Love you all. Gotta go.
Oh,
bye.
I'm so glad we had
time together.
We have a laugh or sing our songs. Seems we just get started, and before you know it.